Okay, guys, well, go ahead and get started. Thank you guys for coming in. Go ahead. We're starting our speaker series. If I know this was on the last week, thank you guys for your patience last week, the changes that was done there. But to this week, we're going to actually start our speaker series, and we're starting with Ms. Carol Levine, who comes to us all the way from Phillipsburg. And Carol Levine has been very vocal about child abuse in society and creating a lot of social change and movement with her personal story and her advocacy and her career as well. Herself as a survivor of child abuse, Carol co-hosts an internet radio show 6 days a week about child abuse awareness and prevention. She's also written books and articles about child abuse. And one of the primary statistics that I always hear and learn the most from Carol is that at least when we lay down at some point or as we go about our day, at least 8,000 children will be sexually abused tonight, but at least 850,000 children will be sexually abused this year alone. And that's according to the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, which is also the slate that Carol hosts her show, Stop Child Abuse Now, from Monday to Friday, and Community Matters on Sundays. That's the show where she interviews a variety of guests, including doctors, members of law enforcement, specialists, college professors, and child abuse victims. So you guys, please help me welcome Ms. Carol Levine to our...
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here. I'm always happy to be here. I see some familiar faces here. We live in a world today, okay? Now, I'm not saying that sexual abuse or physical abuse, emotional abuse, neglect hasn't been around like forever, because it has been, okay? But what we're starting to do now is we're starting to get more awareness, okay? And that's because people like myself, we go out with our big mouths, thank God, and we talk about it. And you know what? There's a lot of people that don't want to hear it, and you know what? Too bad. Okay? And I'll tell you why. When you have 850,000 kids sexually abused, now that's just the sexual abuse alone, all right? Every single year, and this is the ones that we know about, these are from the kids that told, okay? So most kids don't tell. So that's the number that we are given. This is the number that we know of, okay? The CDC says that $124 billion is spent every year on child abuse alone. Now, that means physical, emotional, sexual, and neglect, and also domestic violence. I grew up in a home where there was domestic violence until my mother left my biological father, and then she turned into one of my abusers. But the point is, when you see too much domestic violence, this leaves an imprint on your mind, just like any type of violence, all right, whether it be physical, emotional, sexual, or neglect. And many times there's alcohol involved. My father, my biological father, was an alcoholic, and so was his father, and so am I. But I haven't had a drink since 1981, thank you very much, okay. That's a good long time. Now, I have to admit, especially when we have barbecues and stuff, and I see those beers flying by, I mean, my head's going like this because I still want to drink, but I will not let myself do that because I've had so much time in. Why would I ruin that, okay? It doesn't even make sense. And I've learned to live my life without having to drink or to use anything else, any other type of drugs, because I used to pop pills. In my day, Quaaludes were in. If you ever heard of them or not. They're big red pills, nasty looking. Very hard to swallow, too. But anyway, the point is, I don't need any of that stuff anymore. I started having panic attacks at the age of 9. I couldn't be up in front of my peers. Do you think I could stand here and look at you in the face? Oh, no, honey. I'd be looking down here. And then one day I realized that if I took a flask of booze to school with me, I go into the ladies' room, and if I had to do a report or something, I'd just take a few swigs real fast, and I'd feel better. It'd, like, calm me down. I was self-medicating, okay? That's not the way to do it. That's not the core issue, all right? I mean, that's not the way to handle things. But I would get through my day, and I would get my A's, which I deserved, or even B's. I was happy with that. The point is I wasn't getting my F's, for not doing it. Many times I'd take off from school if I knew I had to do that stuff. I had terrible absentee. When kids come from neglect, all right, and I was horribly neglected. I know what dog bones taste like. When my mother left my father, which she should do, he was beating her horribly. I was put in a house of horror because that guy was a pedophile. I don't think my mother knew he was a pedophile. But I always knew at family functions that I didn't like this guy too much, but I didn't know why. I was only 5 years old, right? By the time I was 6 years old, I was living with him and his neglectful wife. So I ended up eating dog bones because I was hungry. And they had a really pretty dog. So I'd sneak downstairs at night because my stomach was grumbling. And I would eat a dog bone, and I'd give the dog a bone. And I never counted the bottles of soda, so I was able to wash it down with a bottle of soda. Because I was always told, don't you dare touch the food. All right? So if I touched the food, they'd see it. So this is how I was living. I wasn't allowed to bathe. We're talking about terrible neglect here. Once a week, I was allowed to take a bath. And the kids in school were nasty back then, too. Don't think it's just kids today. Kids are kids, all right? If they're nasty, they're going to be nasty. Doesn't matter if it was 40 years ago or whether it's today, all right? They don't like to see dirty kids in front of them. And I didn't like being one of those kids that was dirty. Because I wasn't being fed right, my hair was falling out. This is neglect. I'm teaching you about neglect. My hair was falling out. So I was dirty. My hair was falling out. I'm sure I was smelling. In the summertime or in the early fall or in the early spring, there was a brook nearby. And I would go, and I knew better than to not only bathe once a week. I knew better than that. Kids get dirty. So even out on the playground, right? So I knew that I could go to the brook, and I would try to wash myself with my clothes on so I wouldn't smell, because the kids were really busting me bad, okay? But it didn't do much good. I didn't have any soap. What good is it going to do, right? So this is what happens. I grew up in a very neglectful atmosphere. When I did get back with my mother, who had remarried, never met the guy before, all of a sudden, ooh, here's your new daddy. And my brother was also scooped up. So it was my brother and myself, my new stepdaddy. And we moved to New York. I'm originally from New York. And, you know, we were sort of like living together as a family, but I didn't know the man. He never spoke to me. So there's still neglect going on. My mother didn't speak to me either. And I ended up getting kidnapped and raped and all that. So by the time I was 9 years old, I had been living with a dirty uncle, underfed, hair falling out, a mother who was uncaring and cold, a stepfather who never spoke to me, and kidnapped and raped. And then I had a weird brother. He turned out to be weird too. And my mother didn't care. Now, when you get kids like this, they end up out on the street. Because, you see, they're not wanted at home. My mother used to tell me to run away all the time. So I would, at times, run away. And I was with the street people. I ended up starting to drink at the age of 13. And I didn't stop until I was, what, since 1981. And I'm not going to tell you how old I am right now. Let's just say I drank for a good long time. Until my fingers got really swollen and my kidneys started to pound. I had to make a decision. I either want to live or I want to die. Simple as that. I made a lot of mistakes along the way. But there's something I want to tell you right now. It doesn't matter whether you're rich, because believe it or not, this girl that you're looking at came from wealth. I just wasn't wanted. Okay? I found out later on my mother had gotten raped, and I think I'm the product of that rape. But anyway, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or whether you're poor or whether you're somewhere in the middle, if you can find a place that's in the middle today. I think I'm middle class, I'm not sure. But it doesn't matter how much money you have or you don't have. If a pedophile is out on the street, and that can be a girl too, it doesn't have to be a guy. See, we don't speak enough about women pedophiles. I hate to say this, but Huffington Post is talking about a lot of the female pedophiles. If you go to the Huffington Post, if you read that newspaper, they'll show you the teachers that who go after the younger students. You know, maybe she's very pretty. And see, society has to change their views. Because when I was growing up, if a teacher was, you know, making a pass at a 15-year-old kid, and the kid went home and said, "Hey, Dad, my teacher really likes me," he'd go, "Attaboy!" That's what he'd do. He'd slap him on the back. "Attaboy!" No. That's not attaboy. You see, that is being abused. Boys have feelings, too. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Let me tell you something. You walk into a room where there's 100 people, all right, and at least 25 of them have been abused. At least. The stats are going up. They're not going down. I was hoping that by this time, with all the work that I do, along with all the many people that I work with, that there'd be a difference. But especially with the physical abuse, and it doesn't matter, again, whether you come from rich or from poor, or somewhere in between, excuse me, if there is one, if you're an abusive household, you're going to have a screwed up life, in plain English. All right, you're going to see that mommy's being hit, so then little girls think, well, it's okay, look at mommy, that's how daddy treats her. And kids tend to think, well, all right, mommy's being hit, she ends up getting into an abusive relationship. And she sucks it up, she takes it, because, you know, this is how her mother was brought up. Right, and this is what she saw as she was growing up. Not so. That's not the way it should be, girls, okay, and boys. Because sometimes girls can be the ones that are abusive to the boys. I saw that once. Most of the time, 85% of the time, it is the other way around. 85% of the time, it is the boys who are abusive to the girls. And it's because many times of the environment that they grew up in. Okay? And this is something you have to understand. When they say you are what you learn or you are what you see, there's a reason for that, because there's truth to that. So, poverty. Children belonging to minority communities face increased risk of maltreatment due to exposure to poverty. Now, the U.S.-based study says that. And it's true. Poverty, rather than biased reporting, seems to account for the higher rates of child abuse and neglect among minority children. For families of all races and ethnicities, the development and implementation of strategies to prevent child maltreatment must encompass attention to poverty. When kids live in a house of poverty, they're not getting fed right. One in six kids, even though there's 50 million people in our country on food stamps right now, 50 million? There's still a lot of people that can't make it. Maybe mommy works in Walmart and daddy works at a gas station. Maybe he's a mechanic, but he's not getting paid too well. Maybe he's a Class B mechanic. I think Class B makes less than Class A. So they don't meet the criteria to have food stamps. Not that I want people to have food stamps, don't get me wrong. But the point is, if you're hungry, you're hungry. And sometimes you do need it, okay? Sometimes you do need help. They might be $10 over, and they don't care. If you're $10 over, you don't get food stamps. And then those kids go to bed hungry. And those are the one in six that I'm talking about. Our country is very screwed up right now. It's been screwed up for a long time. And yes, now it's time for change. We have to have change. We have kids going crazy on the campuses. We have kids going crazy in regular schools. We have all kinds of stuff. Kids killing their parents? Holy Christopher. We have kids doing all kinds of stuff. It's because they're so filled with tension. Because they know what it's like at home. They come from homes where there's so much tension. And the parents just don't know what to do with themselves. And they end up fighting, and the kids see it. And they become very, very volatile themselves. And then you have children who have been sexually abused who don't tell, because most of them don't. they're not. They don't tell because maybe their violator, the one who's abusing them, is a family member. It could be an uncle. I did tell, though. And then he tried to run me down with his vehicle. But it could be an uncle. It could be your father. It could be your mother. I worked with a girl whose mother had sexually abused her. She was a client. No, I wasn't the client. But she was a client. And it could be anyone in your family. Where did those kids go to get help? It's harder when the abuse is in the family. You know, you have certain feelings for family members. I admit, I always despised this uncle that was dirty, all right? I just knew there was something wrong with him. You know, they say something about kids and dogs. A lot of times they can sense things. Well, I could sense there was something wrong, but I certainly didn't know what I was in for. But the thing of it is this, that when it's in the family, it's the hardest place for that abuse to be. But I say to you, and this is what we have to get across, you guys are in your 20s. For God's sake, you probably know someone who's being abused one way or another. Okay, you probably do. And, you know, encourage that person to get help. Get help for yourself. Get help, you know, in general, because this person doesn't have a right to hurt you. They don't have that right. You see, there's another civil rights things that we don't talk about, and that's the rights of children. Children don't have any rights. We're the voice for the children. How can they say, my daddy is sexually abusing me? They don't even know they're being sexually abused. They just know that daddy's touching them, doing all kinds of weird things. But they know that it's wrong. Now, children who grow up with all kinds of abuses have trouble in school. They have trouble with their peers. Many times they skip school a lot. They have phobias like I had in the panic attacks. They hate themselves. They can turn into the cutters. They can turn into cutters. They can turn into drug abuse, alcoholism. This is what happens to kids who are abused. What good is that? Where's the justice in that? And then kids might look at those kids, or people in general might look at those kids and say, oh, that kid's a bad kid. They're delinquent. That kid might end up in detention center because they're out stealing. Don't always think that when a kid is acting out bad, that it's the kid's fault. You have to have the whole picture before you can make any judgment on someone. Whoever's going to become counselors in here, or social workers, keep that in mind. It's good to talk one-on-one to your client, but you have to look for where the kid came from. You have to get the whole picture, because the whole picture is what tells the story and helps you make a proper assessment and evaluation. You need the whole thing, okay? Now, we're at the point in our lives where there has to be change. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to go to another part here. And I'm going to read you some poetry, too, that's really cool. I think it's really cool. I didn't write it, but... And then I'm going to talk about Larry Holmes. How many people, of course, have heard of Larry Holmes? I can talk about that right now. He's a funny guy. Did you ever meet him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we had him on our show, okay? We have something that, and you know that, I've seen you before, the Stop Child Abuse Now show. And Larry Holmes was on for about 45 minutes. And I'm going to tell you, I want you to write this down, because if you want to hear the interview, so we have the archives, and it never goes away, okay, on our show. It never goes away. First of all, you type into your browser, www, okay, www.NASCA, that's NAASCA.com. NASCA.com, okay? Now, you type that into your browser, and you're going to find our show, and you'll be able to find out more about Larry Holmes. And then that's really a good thing to find out. He came from a huge family. And I think it was 16. Now it's down to 11. And he was picked on. He was bullied when he was a kid. He was bullied. And he also quit school in the seventh grade, because his father, who was trying to send money back to the family, just couldn't do it. There were too many kids, and he didn't have a good enough job. So Larry took it upon himself to work in car washes, places like that. And the kids in the street, they'd make fun of him. They also tried to, you know, like take his lunch money and his sister's lunch money. They'd made fun of the family. That's what they did. So one day, Larry started to think about boxing. And there was this guy that would stand on the corner, and he'd actually recruit kids that he thought would make good boxers. And he took a look at Larry, and he decided he'd make a good boxer. So he started to work with him. And Larry Holmes, of course, became the champ. Now, he gives back to Easton. He does. He did. He goes out on the streets, and when he sees kids that are in trouble, all right, when he sees kids that are in trouble, what he does is he'll go to them. In fact, and if kids are being bullied out on the street, he'll say, "You give me that kid's name that's bullying you, and they're going to have to come to me. I'll take care of them." So he helps kids, and I like that about Larry. And he's a very funny, funny guy. He's built a lot of buildings in Easton. He's done a lot of good things, and he deserves a lot of credit. Because, you see, it's so easy when you come from a poor family to go the other way. It's easier. When you don't have people behind you helping you, for God's sake. Now, that guy helped Larry, but say that guy wasn't there, what would he have turned into? I don't know. But I can tell you this, when kids come from poverty, they have a much harder time. Now, here's a guy that came from poverty that turned out to be the champ. Then you have Sugar Ray Leonard. Well, you've all heard of Sugar Ray Leonard. Well, let me tell you about him. Sugar Ray Leonard was sexually abused. Nah. And that happened, if I believe, I have an article I'm going to leave here behind. I'm pretty sure that happened by a coach. And we hear about the coaches at times, don't we? Okay. So, yeah, he was sexually abused, and it really screwed up his brain, and he turned to alcohol. And, you know, his friends kept saying, "What's wrong with you, Larry?" Or not Larry, but Sugar Ray. I don't know what they call him exactly. It's a nickname. "But what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? Why do you keep drinking like this?" And he'd cry. He would actually cry. So they knew there was something wrong, but they didn't know what. And then finally, it came out. Now, today, he's the head of a foundation that works with kids, people, maybe even adults, who have been sexually abused, physically abused, abused in some way, whatever way. So it shows you that you can come from a bad background, and if you have it up here, if you have it in here, if you got, excuse this expression, but the eye of the tiger, goes back years, if you've got that part of you that's a fighting spirit, where you want to do better, you can. You don't have to stay where you're at. You don't. You can become someone. You can become yourself, your real self. So this is very important, too. And then one thing, too, I want to talk to you about, again, is what we're going to do and what we should do to change this world that we live in, because this world is just a mess. It absolutely is a mess. By the way, that's www.nasca.org. I always do that, not com. O-R-G. Are there any people in here who want to work with the law enforcement or whatever, or in Congress, or, you know, like be a part of the political system? Okay, good for you. Is there somebody over here too? No? Okay. One thing that we need very badly is to get rid of the statute of limitations. And I'll tell you why. Now, New Jersey, I know, doesn't have it anymore for the rapists and the murders. They've dropped that. That's good. But they also have with the civil, civil suits. I think you have like 2 years. That's all they give you. If like if you were abused tomorrow, you only have like 2 years to report it. God bless you. We have to get rid of the statute of limitations. Now, if you go on our website and you look up Marcy Hamilton, all right, and that's from 9/15/14, you'll see what I mean by that. In the archives on the front of the NASCA website, it'll say archives. And those are the special guests. We have so many people. We've done so many episodes. I can't even tell you how many episodes we've done. But if you go into the years, say 2014, I have the date that she came on, the last date, is 9/15/14. All right, she came on that date. Now, Marcy Hamilton is someone that goes around trying to get rid of the statute of limitations. She understands, because people who have been abused understand that when you're living, say, with your father who's abusing you, any such way, or someone that you don't want to tell on because you're scared. Maybe they said to you, you're a snotty-nosed kid. No one's going to believe you. I have a nice home. I have a nice car. Or if you tell, I'm going to kill you. That's what my uncle told me. I'll kill you. So it takes a long time sometimes for kids to tell. They have to build up the energy, mental energy. They have to build up, they have to get brave and tell on this person. The crime was committed. You see, kids, again, we don't have any voice when we're children. If you're 11 years old and someone's abusing you and you don't tell on that person until you say you're like 16 or 17 and you're living in another place because you feel safer, you can tell, you're going to tell someone. It should be all right to have those years in between. You were abused, you say. You should have that right. So statute of limitations should be gone in all of our states. And also, too, as far as the civil suit part, there shouldn't be that either. You see, when kids are abused, they suffer from emotional abuse. They suffer from all kinds of things. They become suicidal many times. Many times, especially with boys, they think that maybe they could have fought the guy off, or the woman, but mostly the guy, right? Maybe they could have done more, all right? And maybe they could have put a stop to it, maybe if they fought harder. And they become suicidal. The suicide rates of kids who are abused, you have 50 girls here and you have 50 boys there. On the boys' side, it's going to be more boys that are going to commit suicide. And they mean business. I knew three that just died not too long ago. God bless them and may they rest in peace. It's a scary thing because, you see, they didn't have anyone to go to. We need to have in our schools, in our school system, we need to talk to our children at home and in the school system about sexual abuse and about our bodies. I don't know if anyone here is going to work with toddlers. Is there anyone here that's going to work with toddlers, like in daycare centers or anything? Has anyone here thought about that? Okay. When a kid is small and you're giving them a bath, and they say, Mommy, what's this? Mommy, what's that? What's this? Kids have an imagination. They want to know questions. They ask you questions. Don't be ashamed of your body. You have a head, you have breasts, you have a penis, you have a vagina. You see, if you show a shame to your children, or give it different names, then if someone touches them there, they're not going to come to you. Because they can tell that you were afraid or ashamed, you know, to talk about it. You just say it in the same tone of voice. You have feet, you have knees, you have legs, you have vagina, you have a penis, you have breasts, you have feet. And if you show no shame, then they will come to you if someone is abusing them. Because they feel secure with you. You're talking to them about, you know, their body, and you tell them, you know, the bathing suit area is off limits. No one is supposed to touch you in the bathing suit area. Unless it's mommy or daddy. And hopefully they're not the perpetrators. 93% of the time, children are abused by someone that they know, love, or trust. 93% of the time. That could be also extended family or the caregivers, the coaches that we talk about. We know these people. The stranger danger that we've been teaching our children is only 7% of the time. Okay? All right, all of it happened to me, and I'm still standing, thank God. But the point is, that's only 7% of the time. So this is sucky, in plain English, right? It's not the guy who's going to jump out from behind a bush that we have to worry about. I'm not saying you don't have to worry about it, but I mean, that's not the prime person anymore. The one we really have to worry about are the people in our families, the people that we know, love, trust, or in schools, youth centers, Boy Scouts, hello, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. Because don't forget that girls can be pedophiles too, women can be. I got news for you, by the time you're 15 years old, you know you're different. Surprise. See, your brains are different, and my brain is different. You know why? Because I got abused. When kids get abused, say the squiggles are supposed to go this way. Well, instead of going this way, they might go boop, that way. Kids of abuse, our brains are different too. How about that? Okay. Now, again, let the punishment fit the crime. It is my belief, because so many judges and so many places let these pedophiles out long before their sentence is up. A lot of times they only go away for a third of the time. That's it. Where's the justice in that? If you've raped kids or you've beaten kids or you've neglected them so that they were hungry and they went around doing all kinds of things and had to steal for clothes like I did at one point, you know, when things like that happen, man, you deserve to go away a long time. Because the children that are left behind are suffering. The children who don't get help. Now today we have all kinds of organizations out there, thank God. Children can get help today if they tell. So it's very important that we tell our children to tell someone. You have to tell. You want to get that monster off the street. You don't want that monster walking around the street abusing other kids. And you see, if you've got that bond with your kid from when they were this high, and you told them, you know, you can come to me about anything, if that kid gets touched, they're going to come running out and say, hey, mommy, someone just touched me in my bathing suit area. And oh, boy, you're going to get that guy or girl, and they're going to go to jail, hopefully. First-time offenders need longer sentencing, and I'll tell you why. Yeah. That means they just got caught. That doesn't mean that they only abuse one time. You see, they can have as many assaults as 100 or 124. That might be 10 times with one kid, 5 times with another kid, but it comes up to around 124 times. You see the difference there, 124 times. That's 124 assaults. So, okay, they got caught. Are they sorry? No. They shed no tears for the ones that they've abused. They're just sad and mad because they got caught. Huh. The tier twos, they're the ones that beat the kids a lot of times when they've abused them. Yeah. They're the tier twos. And they know that they've had quite a few sexual assaults and so forth, so they become tier two. And then you got the tier three that shouldn't see the light of day ever, 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 because the recidivism rate is very high. You bet. They're going to get back out on that street. And the minute they're out there, their appetite, like a vampire, their appetite is going to come back. And they're just going to do it again, because if the opportunity is right there in front of them, they don't care if it's a boy or a girl. They might have a preference, But if the opportunity is standing there, they don't care whether you're white, green, yellow, orange, brown, whatever, or whether you're a girl or boy, the opportunity, oh, there's a kid, oh, boy, I got you. And they're satisfying that appetite. Yeah. So you see, the tier threes, they shouldn't even be out. Put them away somewhere. The ones that, the people that are in jail, now I don't like reefer, all right? But I'm going to say something here. You might think it's a little funny, coming from me especially. But anyway, when someone gets busted and they go into jail because they have a few joints, get them out of jail. They say the jails are overcrowded, right? That's what they say. Why don't they look through the jail system and the ones who have committed the least amount of crime, get them out, let them have their probation, and hopefully counseling, and then you'll have more room to put the pedophiles in there. Keep them in there longer. Don't let them out on the street so they can satisfy their appetite. They have a real good time doing it too, don't they? Everyone should be a mandated reporter. Everyone. Like I was saying to Dr. Dixon before, if you live next to me and you know I'm beating my kids, and you don't tell, then you're guilty. Okay. Now the state of Florida, as far as I know, it's only the state of Florida so far, has gotten to the point where what they do is if they find out that you knew about it and you didn't tell, they look at you as being as guilty. And you get fined big time and you might do a couple of years in jail because you didn't tell. All right? Well, I think that should be everywhere. Because the children are at our mercy. We are the voice of the children. It is your generation that is going to help make a difference. But you have to be educated on child abuse and how that person is suffering. Too many times, they feel sorry for the pedophile. What are you, nuts? Hey, I was abused in all different kinds of ways. I'm not out abusing kids. 70% of us don't. All right? We don't go out and abuse. So what I'm saying to you is this. Why should we feel sorry for the pedophiles? If they came from a terrible existence like I did, and I tried to kill myself once, I mean, if they came from the same type of background like I did, okay, that doesn't mean that I have the right to go out and do the same thing that happened to me. We know what's right and what's wrong, even if we're not taught. We have newspapers, we have radio shows, we have the news you can watch at. And that's another thing, we need the media. We need the media to be much more involved with our cause. We absolutely do. When we see a kid, say a kid's been kidnapped, all right? And you see this picture of this little girl or boy, and it's so sad, and everybody feels bad, and of course you do. If they would put a statistic on the bottom of that, so that people, to get the word out about the stats, how many kids, there's 2,000 kids that go missing a day. 1,500 of those kids, yes, it's disputes between the parents. But the other 500, where are they? That's every day. You get the kids that end up out on the streets where I've been. You get the kids who are used, and they're not calling them prostitutes anymore, by the way. See, at least they're getting a little softer on those children. Many times when you go to foster homes are very abusive and you end up running away from them because they are abusive, okay? And the only way that you can, you know, like control or get money or anything like that is to go out on the street. The pimps get a hold of you, they tell you all kinds of things. I'll make you rich. You're cute. You're pretty. The guys will flock around, you give me a little bit of money, and I'll give you the rest. Well, that's not what happens. What happens is they get beaten, and they have to put out a whole bunch of sex to satisfy that pimp because he wants a whole bunch of money. Now, I'm going to tell you something else, the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But this isn't just the Super Bowl. It's any big gathering. Do you know how many kids are trafficked during that time? They get trafficked? Do you know how many? The kids that are out there 500 a day are part of that trafficking problem. And you don't have to look into another country either. It's right here in our own country. They bring in those kids that are on the streets from New York, from Philadelphia. I don't care where it is. The big cities, they bring them in. And they tell them how to act, how to dress. And you better be good because if you're not, you're going to get it. I'm going to beat the living hell out of you. And they do. If they don't do what they're told. Now, how do you spot a kid who's been trafficked? You know, what do they look like? How are they different? They don't make eye contact. You see how I'm looking at you really easy and you're looking at me really easy? Kids that are out on the streets who are being pimped out or they're being taken to an affair like the Super Bowl, you know, they get all these wealthy people to pay for kids. Sick! And these kids are scared. They may have had a bad divorce at home or at home, wherever they ran from. But they're in trouble again, aren't they? All right? These are scared kids. They won't make eye contact. And they'll be fidgety. And if they do take them out of the country, if they do, and they do, you know how plain food is supposed to taste real bad? You always talk about that? These kids are so happy to eat that they'll just gobble it down and they'll eat it because they're hungry. They're not being fed right. So there are signs, of course, bruising. They're careful with that, though, because they don't want to get caught. But you can look for bruising and stuff. Now, in a lot of the hotels, they're leaving bars of soap. Maybe you've heard about this. Where on the bars of soap, it'll have a telephone number for those girls and boys who have been, you know, kidnapped or are being trafficked out to call that number. If they can, if they can get a chance, right, to call that number, and someone will come and pick them up. They're working with the taxi cab companies. They're telling them the same thing that I'm telling you, what to look for. You know, they're working with all different kinds of people. They're working with the hotel people. And a lot of hotels are involved with it because they give them money, honey. Okay? Now, there's a lot of hotels that get busted for that. And there's a lot of them that will work with them. But those that get, you know, trafficked, as I'm saying, are not the biggest problem, okay? We're talking about the kids of every day. The ones that are 93% are coming from homes that are, you know, all broken up. And you know, again, single family homes. This is hard. I divorced my husband because he was beating the heck out of me, all right? He almost killed me, too. But after I divorced him, it was very hard taking care of two children. I didn't have the money, skills, or anything that he did. I have to admit that. Mm-hmm. But many times, you know, you will choose the same type of partner. Women who choose partners like that many times come from a family where the father was abusive. That's the way it is. I hate to say it, but that's the way it is. With personalities, I want to talk a little bit about, I think I've talked enough about the abuse in the sense of how kids behave. They're on our resources button on NASCA, www.nasca.org. Okay, NASCA.org. I should know that. We have, which is like my Bible. There's lavender buttons, okay? And one is called the resources. If you open that up, it'll tell you all of the things to look for in child abuse. And also how to talk to your kids about sexuality and also about those perverts out there. There's all different kinds of links. You learn a lot just from that one thing under the resources button. If you're more into the legal like you are back there, There's links, open up the Lavender links, and it'll talk about ICE and some of the other things, okay? And give you all kinds of information. So we have that for you. Now, one thing I want to go over here, because it's very, very important, is the fact that the red flags of a battering personality. And the reason why I'm doing this is, I don't care if you're in college. There's a lot of kids here that come from backgrounds, maybe not as bad as mine, but you come from backgrounds where there's been a lot of abuse in the home, one way or another, all right? And I don't want you to end up doing the same thing. Red flags of a battering personality. If you are uncertain whether your partner is abusive or if you want to be able to tell at the beginning of the relationship if the other person has the potential to become abusive, there are behaviors you can look for, including the following. Is a person jealous? See, girls make this mistake. Oh, he's so jealous. They think it's so cute. Ooh, hoo, hoo, hoo. Because if I look at another guy, run. Okay? Guys who are jealous are too possessive. And they don't let you become your own person. Keep that in mind. Controlling behavior. You can't go over to your girlfriend's house tonight. I want you to be with me. I don't want you going over to the mall now. They tell you what to do, controlling behavior. You're not telling him what to do. All right, quick involvement. Many domestic violence victims only knew their abuser for a few months before they end up living together. Good God. Get to know a person a lot better before you live with them, okay? Because you're going to end up in trouble. You're going to end up maybe you're going to hate each other once you're together. You never know a person until you live with them. Because if you're just dating them, okay, they put on their best face. My first husband used to pull a chair out for me, honey. He used to open up the door for me to go into the vehicle. He took me to New York and took me to Sardi's. Sardi's is a place where the movie stars went. It was really cool, okay? If they're in New York, they went to Sardi's. He took me, and he had his motorcycle. It was so cool. I love Harleys, okay? He had a Harley. And I just thought that was so cool. And he treated me like a princess until we got married. And then it all went down. Okay. Okay. Unrealistic expectations. Abusive people will expect their partner to meet all their needs. Okay. And that's in the bed, as a friend, in the house, whatever. They say things like, if you love me, I'm all you need, and you're all that I need. You are supposed to take care of everything for me. No. What are you, a slave or something? It should be 50-50 in a household. That's how I feel. With the housework, especially if both are working, 50-50. All right? Isolation. He won't let you go. Maybe I'll take the car keys. No, you can't go out. I don't want you going out. I don't want you going to your friends. I don't want you going to see your parents. I don't want you leaving the state. You're going to stay here with me. Uh-uh. You blame the others for feelings. I'm feeling bad today. It's your fault because you were yelling at me yesterday. You said things to me that I didn't like. Oh, boo-hoo. Hypersensitivity. That goes along the same way. Cruelty to animals and children. People who are abusive, many times, are cruel to animals. All right. Now, on our NASCA site, under the resources, on the left-hand side, it will speak about how children who are being abused, and police officers have to understand this, all right? And lawyers, attorneys, everything else. On the left-hand side, it talks about the younger kids, what they might display, type of behavior. On the right-hand side is more for the teenage, whether bulimic or anorexic or any of that other stuff, peer pressure, their runaways. That's on the right-hand side. Very important. That's why I want you always to look at the whole picture. Where is this kid coming from? Sometimes you can't figure it out. But you have to try to be a good counselor. You absolutely do.
Yeah. Now I want to read something to you. In NASCA,
most of us, not most of us, a lot of us write books. I wrote Panic Child, we know this. And there's this girl, this lady, she had gone by a pseudo-type name. She didn't want to give her regular name at first. And she was calling herself Little Girl 413. Now, she wrote a book, and it's called The Monster's Game. All right? Here's the book, Monster's Game. And it's all poetry. I think it's pretty cool, because how often do you see that? It actually tells her story, but it tells it in poetry. Now, we had a guy on last night who works with forensics, and he told us that even judges, who are supposed to be smart, need to learn more about child abuse so they don't make the wrong sentencing. Oh, you raped four kids? I'll give you 3 years. When I got kidnapped and raped, he only got 3 years. Yeah. You know what went through my mind in that courtroom? I'm 8 years old. I wasn't quite 9 yet. When I get out, or when he gets out, I'll be 11, and he knows where I live. Maybe that's why I started having panic attacks. But I want to read this poem to you. I get a charge out of this poem, but it tells you something. All rise for the honorable judge. I sit here in anger, refuse to budge, in disbelief of this decree. 5 years to him and mommy gets 3. Why is incest a lesser crime? Why does a father get less time? And other rapists get 15 to 20. But if daddy rapes, 5 is plenty? Where's the court's mercy for the child in pain? I look on this sentence with great disdain. Hold me in contempt when I say to you, this court assigns children no real value. This system perpetrates the worst neglect. For the children it's allegedly sworn to protect. The case is closed with barely a smudge. All rise against the dishonorable judge. Now, I like that, because you see, too often the judges let the pedophiles go with very small sentencing. And that's why I'm saying that when people go out and they commit crimes against children, these heinous acts against children, then let the sentence fit the crime. I don't care if you're a first-time offender, supposedly. At least 10 years. If they know that you've been like with Megan's Law, that's, you know, I don't know, it's okay. But with Jessica's Law, they believe in 25 years, don't they? See, I happen to like that law. Yeah. It makes me feel good inside. 25 years to life. And I'll tell you why. Because quite frankly, when you do all this stuff to a kid, you've taken their life. That's why a lot of kids do commit suicide. Or they end up in trouble. When I worked in detention center, I found out that a lot of those kids, they'd been abused. If you go to, as they used to call it, the big house, a lot of those people there in regular prison, they'd been abused too. You see? That doesn't mean that what they did was right. I don't care if they're a thief. I don't care what they're in there for. I'm not saying that that's right with, you know, with the crimes that they committed. But I can tell you this. When kids are abused, they many times go wrong in life if they don't get help. Now, we've got the organizations today. Now it's up to us as parents, we as parents, to talk to our children when you get married and you have kids, to teach them about the world that we live in, so they don't grow up all twisted like we do. Develop that bond with your child, because there are a lot of coaches that are out there. There are the Boy Scouts. And boys, they're apt, just as apt to get raped as girls. I'm sorry. Okay, it's 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys. Big deal, big difference, right? No. One is too much. One in four girls and one in six boys before the age of 18. That's horrific. Now, what happens to kids like us? If we don't go to jail, if we don't kill ourselves, and we don't kill someone else, and if somewhere along the line we do get help, then we go on what I call the healing journey. Okay? I like calling it the healing journey. You can go on the healing journey and have a few good days, and then you can have a couple bad days, and that's just not good, okay? But it's a part of healing. It's a part of healing. As long as you have help. One thing that NASCA, it's a lot easier to say NASCA than the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, because that's who I represent. NASCA is our website, www.nasca.org. One thing we have on the front page is for adults. If you see the map of the United States right next to it, it's a very colorful map of the United States right next to it, and you should write this down because maybe you know someone who needs help right now. It says programs. You click onto that. And what that does, it opens up all the states. You find your state, we're New Jersey, click onto New Jersey. And when that opens up, you find your county or your town, whatever nearest to you. And you'll find programs, and a lot of times they're free or very little money. It's always nice, like with AA, when you put in the hat, you know, you put money in that, whatever. It's a nice thing to give $5, $10 if you can. But the point is this. Everybody in that room, probably in a room the size of this, is there for the same reason. No one's going to judge you. You have problems. So we have that. We offer that to people. And let me tell you something. We've gotten so big now that it's not just for the United States. It's outside the United States. We have these programs all over the place because the lady in the UK, took the time to look for all programs, all in the United States and outside the United States, even the Virgin Islands. I don't care where it's from. Okay? So there is help out there. A lot of times people can't afford to go to a social worker. I'm just saying. A lot of times they can't. So they do have this other option. So I'm proud to say that we do have that. I want to read this to you. Is my time up? Just about. I get up here and I start talking, and I have to record it because I don't know what I say until I get home. Let me tell you something, because it just pours out of me. Okay, here's one more poem that I want to read, because this is about healing. The good news is you can heal. That's the good news. If you haven't killed yourself or someone else and you got into too much trouble or whatever, all right? Okay, it says here, as soon as the chimes go away, I like those chimes, yes I do. Okay, it says here, now I can heal. Yes, I have some feelings about all of your dealings. I know this pain that drives me insane. I comprehend this tortured soul as I struggle to become whole. I suffer through this shame, but I am no longer to blame. You're the one who is bad, and I am mad. I hate the memories you've laid from the monster's game you played. I am burdened with a dark past, but I shall be free at last. I understand why my heart aches. Oh, what a difference it makes. I've learned to feel, so now, yes, I can heal. So you see, once you go and get help, you admit to yourself that you need help, you can heal. I'm not going to say you're going to be the person that you were meant to be 100%, because let me tell you something, I can close my eyes and I can see it all. I never had any of those things that some people have where they have, you know, areas of their life that they don't remember. I never had any of that. I remember it as if it was like yesterday. The only difference is, which I told the Express Times, is because I've been, you know, with newspapers and everything. But I told them that I put all that garbage, as I put it, right now, I say it, in another part of my brain. Because I don't want it to control me anymore. I want to live my life the best that I can and do the most that I can in my life. And my mission in my life, until the day I die and I can't talk about abuse anymore, and probably the last word I'll say is abuse. Okay? That's just the way that I am. But I'm going to continue to work like I do now until the day I die, because this is a good thing for me to do. It's like therapy. It is, actually, in a sense. So you can heal. And that's the good news. Now, what we have to do as a society, we have to change our views about child abuse. We have to stop being afraid. We have to get rid of that stigma that's and talking about your bodies and tell your children the right things about the bathing suit areas. That's off limits. We have to teach our children. We have to make laws stronger. Get a hold of your councilman. Get a hold of your Congress. If it's federal, then it's Congress. Write letters. Say that we need stiffer sentencing. We do need stiffer sentencing for those that have abused children. Why should they have rights? Think about jail for a second. You have 3 meals a day. For a long time, I didn't have 3 meals a day. They have a place to sleep. They shower. They have a room to go into and watch TV. They have they can pump. They have pump iron and all kinds of stuff. They have a library. A lot of them become attorneys, right? And fight their own case in jail. Because some of them win. Think about all the things they've got. 3 square meals a day. They're allowed to have visitors once they get to a certain point. So they don't have it too bad, do they? Do they know how dog bones taste? Do they? You know, so this is what I'm saying to you. Let's not feel so sorry for their so-called rights. I'm not saying they don't have rights. But let's not be so sorry for their rights. Think more of the children and what they deserve. And let's everyone in this room become the voice for the children. Get a hold of organizations if you're planning on working in the social field area or in law enforcement or whatever. Learn all you can about child abuse so you can be an educated person. And so if you become a judge, you can become a judge that gives fair sentencing to those creeps out there that take away our lives, a good part of it. And just learn. Because it is going to be you who's going to change this world. Now, that may be a big, heavy burden on you, but if you all work together, if we all work for the same cause, young and old, all right, and that cause is to be the voice for the children, to care about children, what you learned in this room today, what you learned here, in the ferry building here, what you learned, spread it around. Spread it around. And you know, listen to the show. We have guests on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And they're very educated guests. You learn a lot from them. Okay? The telephone number is 646-595-2118. 646-595-2118. My name is Carol Levine. They call me Mouth because I got a mouth. The host is Bill Murray, and that's not the movie star. That's Bill-Murray. And we have MJ Goines, who is a registered nurse. She lives in Ohio. Don't forget, this is Blog Talk Radio. I love it. I've been over at WRNJ I don't know how many times. Hold that thought. And then you have to get back to the thought when the advertisements are up, right? Now, Blog Talk is straight talk. We're 90 minutes. We're 90 minutes long. When we have a guest on, they speak for 90 minutes. We have a panel of people that call that number, and we ask questions, and that makes the 90 minutes go like that. and you learn a lot of things about the law. You learn a lot of things about social work. You learn a lot of things about abuse. You learn a lot of things about recovery. So, there you are. I just want to thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you. And I hope in April we can get together again, a whole bunch of us, and let us be the voice for the children in April. April is, of course, Child Abuse Awareness Month, which was actually discovered in the 80s by Reagan. He actually signed the bill in the 80s that April could be the month. You don't hear about it, do you? You hear about breast cancer, the pink ribbons for breast cancer? Okay. You hear about the yellow for the troops? Okay. You hear about red for AIDS? Okay. You hear about the multicolor for the gay rights? Okay. You hear about the purple for domestic violence? Where is the blue ribbon for child abuse? I want to walk into Michael's and see them there. Okay. So you've got a lot of work to do if you're going to help make a change. We all do. The first thing is to care. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Levine, so much for being here and the bravery that she always shows in sharing such personal narrative and story with her survival, her victory, because it's not a victim, it's not a struggle, but she is a survivor. So,
yeah, I am.
Absolutely, yes, indeed. Do we have any questions that you guys would have for Mrs. Levine and Curtis?
Go ahead.
It's kind of off topic, but how did you go about producing your book and getting it published?
What I did was I made a mistake. I went to book clubs because I thought they would be nice to me and tell me how to get started. And my book is in little. It's 314 pages long. And I had to stand up in front of all those people and tell them what it was about. And in those days, they didn't want to hear about sexual abuse. They were writing about dogs, cats, all this other stuff, vacations, sexual abuse. Well, no one would talk to me. So book clubs is not a good place to go unless you're writing a frilly type of book, all right? What I did was I went online and I got involved with one place, and they wanted me to make a trailer, which I said that I would do. Their department, the legal department, got a hold of the trailer that they made. I didn't even see it. And they said it was too volatile. And they dropped me. I am with Author House right now. If you go and type in Author House into your browser, okay, for books, type in Author House. But I have to tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you. They're being sued. And the reason why they're being sued is because they're not good with their royalties. If you're writing a book like I wrote, okay, a lot of companies don't want to deal with it. So if your book is on something else, you'll have an easier time than I did. But Author House, I gave up because I just give my book away mostly. I do. I'm out here to help people, okay. And I made some money off of it, don't get me wrong, but not the amount that I should have. You don't get rich when you self-publish. You need to have those experts working with you, and you have to have money behind you to pay those experts because they expect to be paid, and rightfully so. Okay. So what they do is they go out, they take your book to book fairs, and all this, your finished product to book fairs and all this other stuff, and try to get a publishing company, a really good publishing company, to buy your product. That's how you go about it. Self-publishing is not the way to go. Yeah, there you go. Well, yeah, it's not a good thing to do. But there was this girl that made a video. She actually made a video on YouTube about Author House and how she wasn't getting her royalties. That was a few years ago. So self-publishing, they make it seem glorious at first, but it's not. So go the steps. If you have the money, save your money up and do it right. You know, get a hold of the right people. You know, type into your browser how to publish a book. Put that in and stay away from self-publishing. Okay. Okay, there you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What does your organization do for to push legislation to change the
That's what we're working on right
and
now.
And you're talking about prison and things like that, and not to add to your